Welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio's second Friday food, wine, and travel show with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We love hanging out with them because every Friday we get to chat with a travel writer about their adventures. And today we're excited to welcome Julia DeBolt Price on the show. She is going to be talking about her recent adventures in Siskiyou County. Now, she says this is one of those places you need to put on your map or your road trip plans when you get to California. It's up in the northern area. I'm sure all of you have heard of Mount Shasta and that beautiful region. And so we're very excited to welcome her to the show. I do want to give you the websites for Julie. Go to phototravelwrite.com. You can see all the different work she does and also keep up with her travel stories. And also go to ifwtwa.org for the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. So welcome, Julie. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you, Lisa.
Now, did I say Siskiyou correctly?
I'll get this.
But, you know, Nancy and I were just up in Oregon and we crossed over and you and I were talking about this piece and I'm like, we're in Julie's land, and it was getting dark as we were driving. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. You know, we're covered because of you. But reading your article and looking at the photos, definitely, Nancy, we want to go. This is beautiful.
You could go there a million times, seriously, and not get bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've wanted to go there for many years as we were driving through that area to get to our place in Oregon. And I'd always say as we were driving through Siskiyou County, oh, I want to stay here someday. I want to explore it. And it was an amazing experience.
Awesome. Yeah, because in Mount Shasta, you know, I know we've rolled through weed. I had to say that.
Well, I'll stay there.
Well, okay. I got that because we stayed there. We were on our, it was 2012, was the beginning of our tour. Mm-hmm. We were actually on our way to Mount Rainier. And we saw Mount Shasta and we spent the night in Weed and we just came through Weed as well. And I remember watching on the TV and they're the local news channel and they were like, we have the car show, all the cars are going to roll into town. And I just thought, you know, the whole piece was just weed laden. It was hysterical. But it seems that you really kind of made a hub and Dunsmuir was like your first destination there.
Yes, it was. And only because that was probably recommended by Discover Siskiyou. And it's the furthest south town, if you will, in Siskiyou County, and had some wonderful, unique stays and experiences there. First one was staying in a caboose, and absolutely I had to do that.
Yeah, I love that.
I know Nancy and I were looking at, we're like, we want to stay in the caboose. I mean, that is unique. And I think that's going to draw a lot of people travel according to rail history. I know a lot of people do that with covered bridges, but trains, that's a whole fan club. So I bet you a bunch of train enthusiasts stay there.
Yeah. And they have a little museum also. So if you want to dive deep into train history, right there where you stay, and you can eat in dining cars. It's all a museum.
Oh, it's awesome. So cool. I want to give everyone the name. It's Railroad Park Resort. And also while we're talking, Julie's article is up on our site, nationalparktraveling.com. You can just type in Siskiyou, and I'm going to spell that. It's S-I-S-K-I-U, like Y-O-U. So Siskiyou.com. You can go to discoversiskiyou.com as well to keep up with the whole region. That is like, that's a good name. It's a tongue twister. but speaking of tongue twisters, it looks like you went to a brewery, you went to a distillery. I mean, because you did different communities, some of them really, really tiny.
Yes. Yeah. So that was a big surprise.
Yeah.
Can I mention that a little bit?
Oh,
now?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So Etna is about 700 in population.
Wow.
But you would never know it because they've got a unique there's only one distillery in the county, and that's Denny Bar Company. But they've kept the history of the buildings and the area. Etna Brewing Company is part of the brewery trail through Siskiyou County. And the food at both places was contemporary and up to the minute. It's not, Etna is not a backwater.
Okay.
Plus, you must go there for the Queen Amir. And that is a bakery at Green Street Bakery on Main Street. Well, first of all, Main Street, they also call Grain Street because Siskiyou County is heavy in agriculture and grains. And so Main Street is also named Grain Street. Anyway, I digress. Grain Street Bakery makes the most delectable, Queen Amir. And it's a pastry with butter, flour, sugar, and it's to die for. People come from all around, from several miles away, like Chico and Wairika. One of the people that we met there in the bakery came from Chico, and they keep coming back. So, and that was just, we were there for just a few minutes. We, of course, bought some, and now we'll be driving through there again in August, and I'm going to detour, several miles off the 5 or the 5 freeway to get some more Queen Amir.
This is so exciting that you're talking about this, because I think right now, you know, we've also got to look after this whole pandemic, and, you know, it's not dead yet. The small businesses really, we need to showcase them. And I love your article because you're showcasing, you know, the small, you know, mom and pop bakeries, restaurants, distilleries, lodging destinations, but also, you know, when you're on the Interstate 5, it's very easy to just keep driving and not get off the road and get off the freeway, which we do a lot. And we're not good at interstates, but sometimes you need to take them to get there.
Yes.
But doing that, I think, you know, it's so easy to just, where's Etna? I don't see anything right off the highway, so keep driving.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go far afield. Just get off the 5, particularly in Dunsmuir. There's Yaks on 5. You just take a little exit and go a little ways, and this incredibly interesting and quirky restaurant where you go to, I mean, it's kind of unique food too. It's cheese and burgers and really delicious stuff, kind of heart clogging, but still, you know, every now and then it's good.
Sounds good.
But what you do when you place your order, you draw from a jar the name of your order. And so what happens when they call your order, hunka hunka burning love, your order's ready. And that's part of the entertainment. It's really, really
that's
interesting.
Cool.
I think I have a picture of inside of the restaurant. And so, I mean, it's a great place to stop right off the 5 freeway.
And that's so clever.
And where
that's
did
really
you,
clever.
You yeah. stayed at in the Caboose, and then there's also like other destinations to stay in, like there's the Mount Shasta Resort too. Yeah.
Oh yes, Mount Shasta, Shasta View Lodge.
Oh, that's it, yes.
And that's in McLeod. And that kind of was an afterthought because in my planning, because I went there to see the farmer's market. Because what I like to do when I travel is visit farmer's markets, because it tells so much about an area and the people and the farm to table and the freshness and just seeing the locals, because it's locals that shop there. And, you know, you can strike up conversations and talk to interesting people about, the guy that grows mushrooms in a tractor trailer, you know, a tractor trailer.
Yeah.
Anyway. And so you get to talk to people like that, but anyway, I stopped at McLeod overnight, and Shasta View Lodge, looking out our window, is the view of Mount Shasta.
No way.
Yes. But of course, when I went there to, when I was photographing it, of course, Shasta was shrouded in clouds at the top. But I have other images of Mount Shasta in all its glory. So
I heard that people used to go up there. It's like a very spiritual place. We had our band, our drummer, Willie Kellogg, man, and he toured with Johnny Hooker and he toured with everyone you can imagine, the Flying Burrito Brothers, all these people. And he always says, you got to go to Mount Shasta. Well, because we did psychedelic blues. So kind of, so
just
saying, Willie was just like a little psychedelic butterfly, if you will. That he said, you know, you got to go up to Mount Shasta. It's the Lemurians are up there and you can levitate. You're going to learn how to levitate.
Remember,
we used to call him Levitating Willie. And it was all about Mount Shasta. And I was like, don't bring this up on the interview, but I can't help it. If he watches this, he's going to yell at me. So, yeah, but it seems like it's a spiritual hub.
It is. And I didn't realize how much international exposure Dunsmuir has. There's, and I included this in my article, The Sacred Well. Mm. And right now the stores have limited hours of opening, but in downtown Dunsmuir, you can walk down this like an alley, and there's an alcove with an incredible mural of, and it belongs to, or it's created by the Sacred Well. And, you know, people,
it's like
I'm open to all sorts of beliefs, not that I believe the way they do, but it's an incredible following that the Sacred Well has of people in that are in the spiritual world. And so it's just really interesting to see the detail in the murals and in the following.
That fountain is beautiful too. Mm-hmm. Well, that's something too. I love following you around on social media because you're always putting murals and we actually actively do it. We have an interactive mat and we have a lot of updating to do, but as we travel, we document public art across the country. And I think this is something really important now. Is even, you know, I know the pandemic is winding down, but who knows, you know, this is something you can do to, you know, learn about a town's history and what there is to see and do around about the community. But it's a way to do things and keep social distance, you know.
Yeah. And it's very welcoming, you know. It's like when you drive into a town, what you drive through at the beginning of the town coming in is always a sign of what the people are like and how welcoming it is. And when there's murals and things are clean, you know, the towns that have like big junkyards as you come in town, it's kind of hard to say, ooh, go there, because your first impression is always with you. But, you know, as you come into town, as you leave town, having murals and things being nice and clean makes a big difference to your trip.
Yes, it does. And I thought murals were an outgrowth of the pandemic, but silly me, murals have been around for long, long times, and probably even to prehistoric times. It's not the pandemic that created them. But what I found in my travels in this last year is that the murals are kept up, they're maintained, they're bright, they're lively. It's not forgotten art. It's in, if it's anything, it's revived, and it's very bright. And like you say, it speaks about the town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a treasure hunt for families going out, like whether you're walking in a downtown and following a map, a mural trail, or the public art, you know, it's a treasure hunt, and it's a fun way to discover a region and maybe take a scenic drive depending on where you are. And right now, for those who are watching versus listening, we're all we have a background of Lupin, which is part of your experience up there. So you hit it right at that. Even the new green and all the photos you have with that new green of, you know, that spring. This is just gorgeous. So to see that, you've got the downtowns, you've got the bakeries and the places, the cool places to stay. We need to talk about your minor Mike. We need to talk about him. When you listen, I got a thing about following like characters like that. Even I don't, you know, Linda Kissam from IFTWA, the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. She yeah. sends me Facebook images. She finds me three men, and they're not at all what you think they're going to be. Sometimes they're minor mics. Sometimes there's, you know, interesting statues and anything fun like that. So I was very excited to see Minor Mike, but we'll get to him. But the nature, this beautiful landscape. Also, you know, you got out there and you got to see waterfalls, and you know, there's hiking, and that's another reason. Don't just look at the scenic beauty from the interstate. Get out into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we pulled into Scott Valley, which means we were off the interstate, we'd already stayed in Dunsmuir for 2 or 3 days and saw the beautiful, like Castle Craigs, the beautiful, memorable rock formations and that. We were heading towards Etna in this, you know, in the small town. And as we were coming down into Scott Valley, the carpet of yellow flowers in the lupin, it was incredible. And I said, oh, well, we're going to be coming back out this way tomorrow, so let's just go in and get to Etna. Big mistake. When you see it, stop right then, because we ended up not going back out the same way. Of course, we came out this way and saw all these beautiful lupin, but the combination of the yellow and the purple was just breathtaking.
Yeah, but that is really true, because things change on a road trip. Detours happen, and that's the beauty of it. But it's true, when we live on by detours, especially during the pandemic, being on the road full time. It's like, well, that place is closed. Where are we going now?
Right.
You know, but it's,
and then you find some things that may be even better.
Yeah, exactly. These detours are fantastic, but getting out and seeing the waterfalls, I think, man, it seems like, you know, everybody being cooped up and then being able to get out and about, these are the kind of places you want to go where you can get that reconnection, get some fresh air. Just nature has a healing quality to her.
It does. And that's what made the Shasta View Lodge the perfect place to stay, because you know, you can walk to town, but you can also take the road out, the volcanic scenic byway or whatever it's called. Yeah. And you can visit the falls, and the falls have handicap parking, handicap access. So, and they have overlooks. So anyone with mobility challenges can actually get out and see them as well.
That's nice.
They're breathtaking.
And that's really important to bring up, because a lot of times people think, you know, if you're going to like Crater Lake National Park, which is right up there, and these, you know, national forests, you do not need to be an athlete to go and experience it. The least thing you're going to do is have a scenic drive. But there are ADA, you know, accessible areas all throughout these parks and forest lands. And that's not just for those with mobility issues. I mean, moms and dads with, you know, pushing strollers with kids. Mm-hmm. And also, if you've got a family, you need something that's a little easier for the kids.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So would you say this is a destination for families?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Families, yeah. Seniors, anybody that wants to see nature, get out into nature, see the agriculture. Fortunately, when I was there, I had an inside visit to a working cattle ranch and had an opportunity to talk to the ranchers. And the men run the cattle ranch, the women run selling the beef. And it's a 5-generation family. And so at some point I'm going to write about that. But so not that every rancher is going to take you on a tour of their ranch, but you really get you get a different feeling, because you're really connecting with the locals.
Mm-hmm. And understand their way of life and how the farming works, where our food comes from. But isn't that the ranch that was also like a resort at some time? And there's a town that's up for, is it a resort, a hotel up for sale on eBay for $11?
For $11.
Come on, Nancy, let's get it.
Well, let's do it.
I know. I was just doing research for the article, and I was looking for the Callahan Hotel, that the Little Burg, population 50. Actually, it gets a lot of traffic through there. But anyway, it used to be a ranch, and the owner, Callahan, whatever his initials are, Callahan established a hotel there for people passing through and whatnot. And so the hotel is still there. I don't really know. I don't think they host anyone there. But, you know, it's still on Main Street. And yes, you can buy it for $11 on eBay. Wow. It's across the street from the Emporium, which has the bar. And the bar has $1 bills tacked up all on the walls, the ceiling. People have signed their name. And it's so entertaining. You go in there and see who's been there and see what they have to say. And that's where I saw Minor Mike.
Ah, yeah. That's it. I was Minor Mike. So Minor did you Mike. Ask him if you could take his photo and say, did you let him know he's Minor Mike?
Oh,
I want to know what this process was. That was the first thing I wanted to know about.
Okay. So we kind of drove through Callahan. I mean, you don't blink or you'll miss it. But I saw on the porch this, I thought it was a statue sitting there because of his garb. And I thought, you know, you see those carved Indians that at some old fashioned places. And I said, oh, let's turn around and go back. So we did. And we parked, and lo and behold, this statue actually moved. And I went, oh my God, I cannot miss this opportunity. So
she learned from the flowers.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so I walked onto the porch and walked by him, and then another local came by and sat down, and we all started talking. And I said, well, do you live around here and what do you do? And he pointed across the street. He said, yeah, I live right over there in this little shack. And it wasn't a shack. It's a little building.
Like a little cabin.
A little cabin. I think smaller than a tiny house, but it had two great big solar panels leaning up against the side. And it was neat and clean. It wasn't trashy or anything. And he pointed out to this dog that was tied up to a tree, and he talked about the dog a little bit. And I said, how did you get here? And he said he was originally from Australia. Oh, and, wow. And so he related some other things. It was kind of hard to understand him. If you see his picture, he's rather, I wouldn't say elderly, he's just older. And then he was rolling his own cigarettes. And that's about the time I asked him, can I record this? Yeah, no problem. And can I take pictures? And he agreed to everything. And so I actually video recorded him rolling the cigarette. And he said, yeah, I've been doing this since I was 11 years old. And then, of course, he lit it. And I was afraid he was going to light his beard on fire. But what an outstanding experience when you stop and talk to the locals. Very friendly. Here's my motto. Every town, no matter how big or small, is interesting. Mm-hmm. Everyone, all the locals have a story to tell. It's unique, and I want to be the one to tell it for them.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, and if you take the time, people want to talk. They love to talk about themselves, and you get much more in-depth in your travels and about the area.
But he reminds me of the Beast of Barstow. Every time, as a kid, I used to end up going to the desert with my parents a lot, and the Beast of Barstow looked just like that, a bit shaggier with a bigger hat, and he would just be sitting around somewhere, you know, on a rock or something, and you know, as a kid, we were like, well, who's that dude over there? And he's like, I'm the Beast of Barstow. And every time he'd come back, he would be there. And sometimes he'd try to give you little penny candies and he'd say hi. And he was just this old guy around town that sat around talking to people. And it's a childhood memory for me. So when I saw Minor Mike, I'm like, oh, the Beast of Barstow's back. It's cool, especially when they talk to kids, mm-hmm. with parents being around, so there's no problems with that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, so they know it's okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how we've discovered things in communities. Is we went through a series of wildfires back in 2003. You may remember the Cedar fires, and we had evacuated 7 times in a year and a half. True evacuations, and mm-hmm. the final one. We evacuated with friends, and there was actually no lodging because like Southern California was on fire and we couldn't get up north. And so we headed through Arizona. The town of Yuma was booked up with evacuees, and we ended up in downtown Tombstone on Halloween. So we were staying with friends and their friends, their cousins in Sierra Vista, Arizona. And we went to Tombstone. We're like, we got to go to Tombstone. What are we going to do with things are on fire? Let's, go have some fun. So we went into town, Nancy and
That's
I,
fun.
And we went to Big Nose Kate's saloon. And there was an elder bartender, and he was dressed as in drag from like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah.
So this was hysterical. And all the locals were there. And so we were having, I think it was like 11 or something in the morning. So we had a Bloody Mary and we told them, this is what's going on. And then we had heard that our home had burned down, but it was actually it was Whispering Pines area where we were, but it was actually a camp that had burned down. Not all, they said all the structures, but that. So we were like, well, now what? We've got everything. We've got our cats. We need to find a place to live, and we've got our magazine stuff. This was back in when we used to print back in the day, way back in the day. And so we're like, well, we've got everything. Let's find a place to stay. And hey, why not Tombstone? The bar got together and found us a place to live in some kind of trailer for $600 a month next to Boot Hill Cemetery. Oh, yeah. And we're like, oh, we've got to do this. So now we've got, well, that's exciting. I mean, what the heck? So we're like, we'll move to Tombstone and live next to the cemetery, Boot Hill Graveyard. Cool. And why not? And then we found out that our house did not burn down. And then we're like, oh. kind of weird. But that's about getting in connection with the locals. And we ended up doing the ghost walk that night. And we did get some very odd photos and footage and was crazy, but really weird orbs and all kinds of stuff.
All sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah. So it turned out but that's that thing about getting out with the locals. It's you're going to get the real story and what they want you to know about the town. And visitor bureaus do a great job, but it is as our job as writers, as documentarians, to get out there and find those unique stories and you can do it without being a typical tourist,
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love this. So what got you started in travel writing and photography? You've got beautiful photos. Love your writing. What was that whole thing of I'm going to do this?
Well, it started basically when I was a child and our family would go on a 1-week driving trip from Michigan to wherever without any real plans to stop and spend any time anywhere. We just, as far as we could go, then we'd turn around and come back within a week. And I ended up always being a tour guide whenever we went on a trip. And then in high school, I liked photography. And then on my travels, I would take pictures and people would like my pictures because of the storytelling and that. And I enjoyed a corporate career for most of my early adult life. And it took me 17 and a half years to get my bachelor's degree. And once I got that, I never used to think I liked school, but after 17 and a half years and I achieved that goal, I said, I like going to school. So what am I going to study now? And then I said, well, the likely thing is photography. So I got into photography, only going to take one class. Well, after that one class, I decided, oh my gosh, I have to learn more and do more. And then I realized, well, there's only so much landscape photography you can do and earn a living at it. I retrained to portrait photography and made that my career. I was in aerospace and kept getting laid off because, budgets up and down. By the third time I got laid off, I was ready and prepared, and I had the skills to run my own business.
Right on.
And so, and it was photography, and I had wanted, I was studying travel writing since even before I got my bachelor's degree. And then once I got family issues all taken care of, when I turned 65, then I said, oh my gosh, the world is my oyster. Now I can write, I can travel. So about 3 years ago, I actually put into play, I wrote my first professional article. It was a food review, a restaurant review that got published in October of 2018. And then, you know, I've been building my portfolio. I've been getting other, well, I love to plan trips. So I love to do itineraries. People have hired me to do itineraries for Italy trips more wow. than one, mm-hmm. because I, you know, I've done Italy several times and led some tours and stuff, photography tours. But I got really serious probably this year. In January, I became a member of IFTWA. Right. And the training that they provide, it's eye-opening. I mean, I didn't think I had all the answers, but clearly whatever questions I have, this is a forum that I can ask them and get training and get the real inside scoop on how to be a good travel writer, wine connoisseur. Oh my God, I'm learning more about wine than I ever
knew. Oh, that's a really sad thing.
That's a lot of research, man. You got to do
oh,
a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently distilleries are in your bag too.
Yeah.
<That's> right.
So this year, now last year we did some traveling just back and forth to Oregon because, you know, we have a house there. But this year I got really serious. We are moving away from California. And we're actually moving to Arizona, but it was like, oh my God, the genie is out of the bottle. I had 3 media trips in April, 3 media trips in May, part one of which was Siskiyou County. And so now I have all sorts of a multitude of things to write about: food, wine, travel, more food, more wine.
That's
beer
wonderful.
Trails.
That's I'm really happy to hear that. I think IFTWA, we've been doing these shows in partnership with them for a number of years, and we love it because we get to hear about all these destinations we haven't been to. Like, we were, you know, when we drove by, I was like, don't worry, Julie's going to tell us all about it, Nancy. We're going to know about Siskiyou. Like, yeah, we're going to learn, like, how to say it. Because, you know, we're
like, we have to stop. We have to get out.
And our Debbie Stone, travel writer Debbie Stone, just did Rogue Valley, and they've been on our show recently, Medford, Travel Medford. And we're like, well, we want to do that. And we were driving through there. We're like, no, this is not cool. We need to stop. And so Debbie's done that. So, but now it actually makes it even worse because now we really want to go. So, Nancy, I think next year when we do Oregon and Washington State, we're going to have to do some detours. But, yeah. IFTWA has done such a good job over the pandemic because a lot of things just said, that's it. We're closed. We're not doing anything. And IFTWA just turned around and said, we're connecting winemakers with wine writers, did mm-hmm. all these webinars, the destinations. It was amazing to see. And I know they had to postpone their conference because of it, but it's back on this year in November, St. Petersburg. Those interested, it's ifwtwa.org. The organization is travel writers, photographers, authors, wineries, destinations. So that's going to be exciting. Do you think you're going to have a chance to go to the conference? Or are you going to be traveling somewhere else?
Actually, I'm still in the moving writing stage. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it this year, but hopefully I can be more active.
Yeah, but it's mm-hmm. great that you're joined and being part of them because they do a good job for sure.
Oh, they do a great job. I've awesome. Never seen a Zoom meeting run so efficiently and
oh, good.
Oh yeah, they do such a good job. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. Yeah. This has been a true treat. Mm-hmm. Everyone, again, Julie's article is up on nationalparktraveling.com. You just type in Julie in Oregon, you'll find it, or type in Siskiyou, because we're all going to learn how to do this. And you can go to their website for the county for planning your trip as well. It's discoversiskiyou.com, and that's S-I-S-K-I-Y-O-U. K-I-Y-O-U, like as in you. So siskiyou.com. Also keep up with Julie and her adventures. Go to her website. It is phototravelwrite.com. And you're on all the social media places too, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Which one's your favorite? Since you're a photographer, is it Instagram? Or?
Instagram. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Keep up with her there. And also, of course, keep up with us here on Big Blend Radio. It's bigblendradio.com. We air Sunday through Friday. I think another show is coming on Saturday. So who knows what's going on? Keep expanding. But also, Julie's article will be in Parks and Travel Magazine, the next one coming up. So just sign up for our newsletter. You'll get it there or on social media. And again, a shout out to IFTWA's IFWTWA.org. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thanks, Julie. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Happy travels.
Thank you.